Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Nau mai, haere mai. I'm John McDonald. Kia ora and welcome into the Community Drive Hut Zone on Thursday the 11th of December. It's our penultimate show for the year. The Hut Zone is Wellington Access Radio's weekly look into the stories, people, poems and music that make the Hutt Valley community. Tonight we have lots of local music, talking with two musicians who are performing next week at the abandoned taproom Petone, Gregor Kempt, founding member of Halcyon Drift, who are launching their new album Fading Light there on the 20th of December, and Jed Simons, who is part of the warm-up act for the Halcyon Drift album release. So there's obviously music from Halcyon Drift and Jed, as well as the latest Christmas song offering from Upper Hutt's Gareth Barker and Renee Maurice. Let's start the show off with a seasonal poetry reading from Rachel Harrison.
Feliz Navidad by Michelle Zhao, read by Rachel Harrison. You wait for us to visit you at the retirement village, to sing Christmas carols for you. Smiles on your faces, sparks in your eyes, you sing along with joy, reminisce about your good time. You may forget the lyrics of songs, but you may still remember people you sang with and who spent those wonderful Christmas together. I don't know each of you, what life you have, but I enjoy our happy hours and create beautiful memories with you. One day, I may, like you, sit in the wheelchair, contemplate blossoming pahutakawa tree through the window, think of those summer days. I sang Feliz Navidad for you.
Feliz Navidad.
That was Rachel Harrison reading Lower Hutt writers Michelle Zhao's poem, Feliz Navidad. Saturday, the 20th of December, has the album launch of a long-established Upper Hutt band, Halcyon Drift. It's at Petone's abandoned taproom. We've played their music here in the Hutt Zone, and when I saw them announcing their album release details, I thought I'd make contact and find out more from the band, and also from an up-and-coming musician who is part of their launch warm-up act.
My name is Jed Simons, and I am opening for Halcyon Drift on the 20th of December at the abandoned taproom in Petone. So I'll probably play five or six songs, a 20-30 minute set, with probably start with four covers and then one or two originals. A Pearl Jam cover, Elderly Woman Behind the Counter in a Small Town, Glycerin by Bush, and Everlong by the Foo Fighters, and Ain't No Sunshine by Bill Withers.
So why have you picked those?
I think Ain't No Sunshine is a good warm-up song. It's got a bit of a mood to it, kind of ease into it, and then Everlong's got a bit more energy, so I'll finish the covers with that one, and then the other two are quite well known rock songs, so yeah, just good. Want to play stuff people know. If you're kind of warming up, I think, for someone else.
And then drop in a few originals throughout that.
Sneak them in.
Sneak them in. And you're also then going to join, I believe, a pre-launch band called Major Drive.
Yes. Yeah. So that will be with Will and Ellie, who are Gregor's sons of Halcyon Drift. And I've known them since I was born, really, or since they were born. I'm old, 1 year older than Will, 3 years older than Ellie, I think. So, yeah, so there we go. I'll be on guitar for that one, and with a bit of vocals, and Will will also be vocals and guitar, and then Ellie will be on the drums, and then Matt Weir, I believe, from the Halcyon Drift, will join on bass to fill in.
Well, why that name, Major Drive?
So we all grew up in Kelson, and so the main road going up Kelson is called Major Drive,
Were you on Major Drive?
No, we weren't. We weren't off. I was on Waipanami Street, and they were on Otara Grove, I think. Otara Grove, yeah.
And what's the band going to play then?
So we're going to do four covers. We're going to do April Sun in Cuba by Dragon, What's Her Name by Green Day, Wheels by the Foo Fighters, and The Boys of Summer, but the Atari's version, not the Don Henley version. So it'll be a bit more high energy, a bit more punk, but faster,
And how did the opportunity come about to play for their album launch?
So I've always known Gregor, obviously, and he sort of reached out, and he knows I sort of have been trying to play a bit more and perform a bit more in front of people. So he, gave me the opportunity to play in front. He actually double booked me without ever hearing me play, so... It was when I played at his birthday the other week. It was good that he thought I was good.
And he hasn't cancelled the booking, obviously.
He did say if I was bad, I would have had an incident where I broke my arm and wouldn't have been able to play.
He's described you as awesome. So, so that's obviously went well.
No, it's high praise, that's good.
It is too. Now, it's playing at the abandoned tap room in Petone. What's that like as a venue?
It's a good venue. I've been there for dinner. I haven't been there to see a show, but it seems like it'll be quite a good atmosphere. You get quite a lot of people in there. It'll be, good people packed in.
It's a sellout for 110 people by lots of things. Where do you sort of perform then at the moment?
So I've done a few open mics. That's kind of the main experience I've had playing in front of people.
And where's the open mics been?
So they're Eva on Dixon Street. And they run those every Thursday, and I've been sporadically over the last couple of years.
6 years, I think, is what he's saying.
I've been learning the guitar for 6 years, recently only performing in the last couple. Played at Gregor's birthday a couple of weeks ago. That was in front of maybe 80 people or so. So, this will be the biggest amount of people I've played in
front of. Biggest gig? You started 6 years ago. Why did you sort of pick it up at that point? What led to that?
I think I tried picking up at school, but I kind of wasn't that great at sticking with anything when I was at school. And so I'd always wanted to play it and just, I didn't have the commitment, I suppose. And so I picked up at 20 and then, kind of committed.
And how did you pick it up?
Just started taking lessons, I think, with a guy out in Balcott. It was my first proper, getting into it. I did take lessons at school, but only very briefly.
So you didn't do the Rock Quest, Smoke Three Rock Quest type band?
No, my brother did. Yeah, he did that sort of thing, but no, I never did that at school.
So have you played in a band before? Will Major Drive be one of the first?
I have played in a three-piece before with a guitar, a vocalist and a drummer, but this would be the first proper performance with a four-piece band,
You're looking forward to it?
Yeah, no, it'll be good. It's a good challenge. If there's any spare tickets floating around, people should snap them up.
The musicians that you're influenced by, who are they?
I'm a big fan of sort of singer-songwriter musicians, so Bob Dylan, Bruce Springsteen, more modern like John Mayer and stuff, but that sort of 90s rock, big influence. I like a lot of country music. Glen Campbell, big fan of, Johnny Cash, so those sorts of guys,
And you said you sort of got your own music sort of sprinkled in there. So what's your process in composing new music? How do you approach it?
Well, I'm not too hot on music theory, so it's a bit of a, not walking in the dark, but sort of fumbling around a little bit and trying to find. I usually write lyrics first and previously, which I'm sort of changing a little bit now as I get a bit more knowledge of music theory. Previously, I'd always have lyrics and then try and match a sort of chord progression to those that kind of match the feeling of the lyrics, I suppose, yeah.
And do you record what you're doing? How do you actually capture that?
I usually write it down in a book, just the lyric. Well, I'll write down the lyrics anyway and then sort of write the chords or the notes that accompany that sort of thing, yeah. Yeah, and then usually we'll record to see how it sounds, I suppose, and then tweak.
Are you using what digital products to do that?
I do have a sort of recording rig or setup. But usually if it's something I'm just working on to begin with, just my phone and then play it back to me just so I can hear.
Well, they're pretty quickly. Good quality in this day and age anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They're pretty near broadcast stuff. Some of your music tutors, who have you had?
I had a guy called James Maddock, I think, out in Balcott when I first started. Then I was learning at the Wellington Guitar School in Johnsonville for a while. And now I've recently just started with a new teacher called Peter Hill, and he works out of the Performing Arts Centre on Abel Smith Street.
Any sort of key sort of learning moments that come to mind that they sort of shared with you?
I think I got told at the Wellington Guitar School that you're only as good as you can perform live, which is, it's good, yeah, because sometimes you get into the cycle of you're just in your room and you're kind of not sharing the music with anyone and stuff, and you kind of think it's quite good, and then it's quite humbling to go on stage and realise that, yeah, you kind of got a bit of work to do. But also a good challenge as well, yeah, to sharpen up, to play in front of people, because I guess that's why most people play music, or at least why I want to, yeah.
So other than music, what are your hut connections, Jed?
I grew up in Kelson. I went to Kelson School and then, moved to Hutt Central as I started high school at Hibs, or intermediate and high school at Hibs. And so I've lived in the hut pretty much most of my life, although now living in Wellington, it's much easier for university.
What about sports groups and things like that? Are you connected to any of them in the hut?
Played junior rugby at Huddle Boys Marist. That was kind of up until I went to Hibs, up until about year nine, played for Huddle Boys from the age of 4, I think. Spent a lot of time at that club. Yeah.
Your hopes for the future with your music?
I think I'd just love to be able to perform more and I think get better at coping with the things that arise from performing live and on stage. Maybe less anxious about doing it. And just sharpening the performance as a whole and sort of trying to play more and in front of more people and stuff. That'd be quite cool, yeah.
Is there going to be more opportunities with Major Drive to do stuff?
Well, the dampener on things, I think, is that Will lives in Melbourne, so I'm sure we'd all be keen to continue if it goes well, of course. But Will lives in Melbourne, so that would probably throw a bit of a spanner.
What about other bands or things like that?
Be open to playing in other bands and stuff. And guess it starts with putting myself out there more and playing more and stuff, yeah.
So you're on any sort of like the Wellington Musicians Facebook groups and things like that?
No, not currently, but that could be something for the future, yeah.
I mean, you listened to some of the Fading Light album material from, that they're playing there. What's your thoughts on that?
It's a good album. Yep, I've listened to the whole thing now. Minimum Wage is a great song. Fading Light as well is a really good song. Yeah, great album. Really enjoyed listening to it. I have to pick up a vinyl at the album release.
Don't let the days go by. Could have been easier on you. I couldn't change though I wanted to. Should have been easier by three. My friend fearing you and me. Bless your brain.
I'm John McDonald, and you're in the Hut Zone on Wellington Access Radio 106.1 FM. And that was Lower Hutt's Jed Simons on his performance at the abandoned taproom Petone as part of the Halcyon Drift album release party, which seems a good introduction to hear directly about the album release from the main act itself.
My name's Gregor Kent. I'm the drummer for Halcyon Drift, and our new album's called Fading Light. It's a representation. We've been together 35 years, so it's 36 years actually. Takes us way back to 1989. We had a 13-year hiatus in the middle where our guitarist went off to Australia. Yeah, he came back again, and we thought, well, let's pick this up again because we really enjoy doing what we're doing. And this album's a representation of that whole 36 years. It's basically taking the 12 best tracks as we know them, probably the 12 that we enjoy the most, and we thought, let's put that down as an album. So if we need to draw a line under the band at any stage in the future, we can say this was our best. So that's kind of what was behind it.
Who's in the band today then?
Yeah, okay, so we got Steve Hands on guitars and vocals. He's our main vocalist. Matt Middleditch, who's a rhythm guitarist. Matthew Weir, who is our bass player, and myself on drums. So we've had quite a few different people over the years. The two that have been there the longest are me and Matt Middleditch. We started in a band in 1985 in Wellington called The Climb, and we played for about 5 years. We did a lot of gigs, and once that band broke up, me and Matt sort of stayed in touch, and then we met Steve at work. We all worked at National Mutual, and found out he was a muso. Started to come together, do a few practices, and before you know it, we had assembled Halcyon Drift for the first time. So that's the four at the moment, but we've probably gone through three or four bass players in that time, and a couple of vocalists. So it's ticked over a bit.
Where did the name Halcyon Drift come from?
I knew you'd ask that. And it's the classic dilemma of what do you call yourself, because names only mean something if you become famous. Otherwise, they're just this thing you're trying to grab hold of and think, does this sound okay? So it actually came from a book by Brian Stableford, who was a science fiction writer. And I remember the night in mid-89 when we were sitting in Matt's lounge trying to think of a name because we had a first gig coming up, and couldn't think of anything. We tried all these things, and eventually went through his bookcase and pulled out this book, and we thought, yeah, that sounds cool. We've struggled with it over the years because it kind of doesn't really sort of give you the image of something that you feel like you want to be. It's this kind of weird name, but it's stuck. And we've tried through, once we got back together again, we tried to rename ourselves. We came up with every name in the sun. It didn't work. We came back to Halcyon Drift. And in fact, for a little bit of time there, we just called ourselves The Halcyon Drift, which didn't stick either. So once you kind of got that brand on you, there's no hiding from it. So that's where that came from.
Are you a sci-fi fan, are you?
No, not at all. Matt Middleditch was his book. I don't know, just something grabbed us. And I think we were just at the end of our tether where we thought, what are we going to choose? So we just grabbed one and ran with it. So yeah, that's pretty much the story.
A dark nebula within whose electronic chaos the laws of physics were so distorted that spaceships could not explore within its vast borders without near certain catastrophe.
That sounds like a break of sentence.
And it's also a genus of the tree kingfisher as well.
Right, here we go. Beautiful.
How long in the making has the album been?
A good 3 years. So our producer, Craig Singulo, and I sat down about three and a half years ago. He had been a vocalist in our band way back in the early 90s, I think it was. So we've always been friends. We worked together for a bit. We always stayed in touch. And I don't know how we came together again, but he's a pretty experienced producer and engineer. So just in a conversation, I think I might have raised it and sort of thought, hey, let's talk about this. we were at that stage where we felt we wanted to, because we've done a lot of recordings over the years, and we actually did an EP called Cars and Comic Fox, which was produced by our bass player at the time, Everett Fuller, and with help from Steve Hands. And that was a good articulation of those four songs in the EP. But the thing this was recording is, quite often, unless it is perfect, you will find holes in it. And you'll get to a point where you just don't want to listen to it anymore because you just see the flaws in it so much. That hasn't happened with Cars and Comic Books, but there are parts of it that we're not that happy with. So we thought with this one, let's do an album, a full album. Let's get the 12 best tracks, but let's take it to a point whereby we can be absolutely happy for eternity with these songs. And I think we've achieved that. But unfortunately, with lack of money and funds, we had to lean on Craig a lot for his goodwill and his free time. So that's why it's taken 3 years, because we just had to find grabs of his time where he could work with us. So we're internally appreciative of Craig's time. And it, for him, it was like a project to really continue his development. But also, he has a love of the band. He's mixed us live a number of times. And I think he saw as an opportunity to step into the sort of circle with us and say, can we land something, which we're all proud of. So it's been a long process, and it's been a really hard process at times. But I think, yeah, that those are the reasons why. Otherwise, if we had unlimited money, we could have probably done it in 6 months.
Now, it's an interesting local location you used for recording, wasn't it?
Yeah, Mongereki School, a great big school hall with wooden floorboards. But it had this beautiful sound deadening on the roof of the school hall, just so when I presume kids are running around shouting, it sort of absorbs it. But we kind of wanted a big sound, particularly for the drums. So our approach to it was to record the drums and bass live. So the bass is DI'd, so that's a capture. So really in the hall, it's all drums. We had the guitarists in other rooms, so they played along as a guide. So essentially what you're hearing in each track is me and the bass player playing the song from start to finish. So every track, we would do about 6 takes, would get it to the best, and then we'd bank that one. Craig would then take those away and tidy them up a little piece, and then he would strip all the guides from the guitars and vocals, and he recorded those in the studio separately. So essentially the heart of the song and the soul of the song from bass and drums is alive, is us playing the song live. And in that live sound, we wanted a really big drum sound. As a reference, there's a song by the Pixies, Bone Collector, Bone People, Bone Something. And that's got a beautiful live, really reverberated drum feel and sound. And that was our target. And by using the wooden hall, we had sort of room mics and close mics. So we got the best drum sound we could find. And that was the nucleus of the recording. Living on a minimum wage.
What's been some of the highlights in being in the band for the last 36 years or so?
Oh, yeah, good question. Look, we haven't been a massively successful band. You know, we've gigged a lot. Our songwriters, I think, are phenomenal. I can't even say it. They're great.
phenomenal, yeah.
So, yeah, that's fine. So that's Steve and Matt Middleditch, and they've written all our songs. And there was one song that was co-written by a guy called Mark Bond, that was Maybe. So their songwriting, their lyrics, I've always been really impressed with. The choice of chords, the musical flavour, the lyrics, they all are interesting. I find them very interesting compared to some rock you can hear around the place. So I think we've got a quality product. We've never really pushed ourselves too far to take it too far. And I think we've always just been happy playing here and there. We love our music, but we could lock ourselves for a year just practicing, and we enjoy that. You know, if opportunities came along, we would step into them, but we've also got lives that we've got to live. So we've just been happy with our space. So I think for me, the joy has been in working with some really talented musicians and just trying to achieve the best we can possibly be. And I'm really proud of Fading Light as an album. I think it represents us. And when you listen to all the songs, there's lots of different kinds there. There's a little bit of Pink Floyd, there's a little bit of country, there's a little bit of punk, which reflects kind of the music that we've listened to.
Say I'm from a small town, but I don't really know. Maybe I'll go back again before it starts to snow. Maybe I'll go back again, or maybe I won't. Maybe she still loves me, maybe she don't.
How are you planning to run the Fading Light album launch at the abandoned tap room on the 20th of December?
I've got a couple of support bands. Jed Simons is our singer guitarist. So Jed's parents are best friends of ours, and we've seen Jed grow up from a baby. He's taken on over the last few years being a singer guitarist. He's done a lot of open mics, and his voice is great. I had my 60th birthday recently, and Jed opened for us, and he's got a great voice. And he just takes really nice rock songs, and he delivers them from an acoustic perspective. So he's going to do a 20 to 30 minute set to start. And then my boys are going to play. So Jed's going to step in with my boys, Will and Alex. So Will's learned the guitar about 6 to 9 months ago. And Alex has been playing drums for about 2 years. And they played on my 60th as well. They did 4 covers. They did really well. And it was the first time they'd performed ever. We decided based off that performance, we'd get them in to be our second support. And then we'll play the album right through. So essentially, if you're an audience member there, you're going to get a little bit something, 3 different things, a little bit of dynamics that change right the way through. So it certainly will be hopefully an enjoyable night. And I think once we've played our Fading Light, we're just going to finish off with about 3 or 4 covers, some good solid rock covers, just to have fun with the audience for the last half hour sort of thing.
Why did you pick the abandoned tap room in Petone for your venue?
Good question. It was a little piece of everything. Originally, it was actually Craig's idea, our producer, and he knew one of the art owners, and he just suggested it because we're thinking about all sorts of things. We're thinking about a private venue, but you know, places where you go and you're up against weddings, so the cost is just prohibitive. Is it in town? Is it out the hut? What is it? And he suggested abandoned, so we went along on a Friday night, and we liked the vibe of it. I don't know if you've been there, but it's the next Foursquare, so it's got concrete floors, concrete walls, and they've adorned them with graffiti. But it's a classy place because even though it looks like a street place, they've got beautiful beer on tap, and they brew their own beer, so it's a step up. It just has a nice vibe about it. I haven't been to see a band there yet, but yeah, it just looks really cool. So I went along and caught up with Leroy, who's one of the other owners, and he was great. He was really open, and we sort of talked about what we're trying to do, and he was open to us thinking about it. We landed on the 20th. We were pleased to get a Saturday. Being so close to Christmas, we thought might be a little bit problematic, but the problem is if you go the 3 weeks before that, you're dealing with Christmas parties, and if you go after Christmas, then you're dealing with leave. So we kind of just went with it, and we sold out, so we're really happy.
Are you running a list a wait list for late tickets if they come available?
Yeah. Got, because the venue's got an allocation. Depends on whether they can sell those or not to their people. And if not, then I can retrieve those back and apply it to the wait list. So I think we've got about 10 people on the wait list at the moment. So if anybody else wants to go on it, let us know. Unfortunately, there is quite a strict limit. But you never know. Sometimes people refund, sometimes people can't make it, and we can work that around.
Because I see you've attracted scammers pretty quickly too. I mean, how did you pick up on the fact that people are trying to sell scam tickets?
Someone let me know about it. I think it was Craig. He was onto it pretty quick. And I presume it's an AI thing. So what I think it is that on Facebook, you know how people get their profiles ripped off. So I think the names of the people are probably genuine people, but they're hacked profiles. And so it's probably just AI generated. And as soon as they see the word sold out, they just start pinging the comments. Now, we're the type of band where, like, if we're a really popular band who is selling tickets easily, then they would fall for that scam because someone sold out and think, oh, shit, I really want to see them. and then, you know, they're looking for tickets to pick up. I don't think that would happen with us, but I thought I'd get onto it early too, because I just don't like that kind of approach. I mean, you can't catch these people, but at least if I can shut them down, and I reported them all and pulled the comments as much as I could, and it seems to have died off, so that's good.
Given it has been a sellout quite quickly, have you got any plans for taking it on a bit of a tour or to other venues?
Yeah, look, we'd like to do one in town, and the ones we played at in the past has been Moon. I think Moon's a reasonably successful live venue. We've played a couple of times there. Just for the people in Wellington, there's a couple of guys in the band who have got a lot of university friends who have gone home for the holidays and they couldn't make it. So I think we've got a little vein of people that we could sort of get up for another concert. Yeah, it'd be nice because I think, you know, there's a few people out there who couldn't make it for various reasons. So I reckon we can probably get a slightly smaller crowd, but hopefully an enthusiastic crowd in Wellington.
Now, you're also a member of the Upper Hutt Pipe Band. What's your role in that?
So I'm a piper. So I go way back. I started playing, started learning pipes when I was about 8 years old because my dad played them and my granddad played them. So it was a bit of a family tradition. I was pretty quickly into pipe bands probably by the age of 13 and played in the New Plymouth Band, City of Dunedin, then came up to Wellington and played for the Wellington Police. And football took over, so I gave it up probably around about the 87 I gave it away. So I was probably, 22 years old. And I've spent my whole life going, I used to be a good piper, and I'm not doing it anymore. I must get back into it. And I said that for about 30 years. And then in the meantime, my son learned how to play. And he'd been playing for about 5 years, but he just needed that. By going into a band, it gives you discipline and it gives you the ability to learn technique better. So I thought it was a great chance to get him into a band. And I found out about this Upper Hutt Band. And so I took him along and then I suddenly thought to myself, why am I doing this? So both of us joined and that's where we are now. So it's awesome.
So when you're in the Police Band, was that the time that Hamish McArdle was there?
That's right, yes. He was a... I think it was a tenor drummer back then. This is way back in the 80s. But yeah, he rose to quite a high level in the Police, I understand.
He did indeed. Now, I used to play in the pipe band actually with him at Scott's. And I see
you.
I did indeed. I did the pipes as well. I started learning in Lower Hutt, but then it looks like Upper Hutt's the last Hutt pipe band standing. It looks like Lower Hutt doesn't exist anymore.
Correct. Yeah, there's a lot of bands have fallen by the wayside. And, I was just doing some research and like Upper Hutt started back in 1944 with about 20 to 25 and it was one of the bigger bands in Wellington. But of course, over the 70s, City of Wellington became an absolute powerhouse. And then the power sort of moved to the Police in the kind of 80s and 90s and they became a world powerhouse. More recently, the Red Hackle have come up a little piece. So, yeah, it's an interesting landscape. So you play the pipes. That's very interesting, John. I might have to get you along to practice.
I haven't played for a very long time. I still have a chanter, but I don't have the pipes to start. So I noticed you have Colin Addison used to tutor Upper Hutt, which he was my tutor at Scott's too.
Brilliant.
So where does the Upper Hutt Pipe Band meet these days?
Yeah, so in Totara Park in California, I think it's called California Drive. It's the Upper Hutt Brass Band Hall. So we just rent a room off that once a week. They're very much about playing simple tunes well. A lot of the time when you join a pipe band, as it becomes, there's pressure on because they're competing. And with the Upper Hutt Band, they just want to play good tunes well. So there's no pressure. If people want to come along once every couple of practices, that's okay. Place just to come along and, you know, if you've got a, even people haven't played for years. I mean, I hadn't played for 30 years. So there was a beautiful introduction back. We got a really good side drummer in Alistair Fraser and we've got a really good and experienced bass drummer in Rolly Todd. So we've got a lot of older players who have played at world levels. So the pedigree of the band is extremely good. And, you know, we just won a little mini band competition the other day. So we're playing well.
I think there's quite a good story behind the revival. We had some, like, and the 95-year-old founder member or near founder member came back. Well, what was the story there?
Yeah, look, that was amazing. So Peter Josland, he was one of the founding members in 1944. And he'd gone on to a life of pipe bands, like my dad. They actually, their paths were very similar across their piping journey. And he finished up in Hamilton, and he ended up in a senior band there that they had got going. And he's moved back down to Wellington now. He came along to a practice, and I met him, and he's just a real firecracker, really sharp, really interested. So I got him in touch with my dad, who's in Shona McFarlane. Their pipe band stories are so similar. So I got them together for coffee. And while we're doing that, I found that his son, Andrew, had sort of transports him around. And then I found out Andrew played drums, and we were looking for a drummer. So Andrew started in the band about 4 or 5 weeks ago, played his first parade last weekend. So that was an awesome story. But just connecting the history of Upper Hutt, a real proud history, it was just a great opportunity, and a top bloke Peter is.
What sort of events then does the pipe band play at these days?
So the main things are things like Anzac Day, Remembrance Day. We do Brewtown, which is Tartan Up the Green. Then there's the Waitangi one, which is Pipes in the Park. But that's actually being moved out to Avalon Park this next year. So Brewtown is in around about October, and Pipes in the Park is around about February. And then we get into Anzac Day, and we do a few parades like Relay for Life. We played in that last couple of years. We do a lot of solo work for weddings and funerals, and we're also working on a Scottish night for the Upper Hutt community. So what that will be is a mixture of performances by the band, Highland dances, a haggis ceremony, some Scottish country dancing. We were about to put it on at the tail of winter, but we just ran into a few challenges with time. So we're thinking about maybe March, April next year. So keep an eye on that one, because it'll be an awesome night, probably tickets for 100 people. Come along and just enjoy the Scottish culture.
So the best place to follow what the Upper Hutt Pipe Band's up to, where would that be?
Probably the Facebook page. Yeah, that's probably the best one. We tend to put most of the stuff up there, so that's if anybody wants to know any contact numbers or just see what that we're doing, that's the best place.
Now, you've been playing in bands, and I'm thinking sort of your rock bands here now again for, 40 years-ish. What have you seen change in the New Zealand music scene in that time?
Look, I was brought up, I was brought up on the end of punk rock and new wave, mainly from an English perspective. That was where my listening habits came from. Coming from Dunedin, I started playing in a band down there, and of course Flying Nun was absolutely primo through the 80s and 90s, and I liked a lot of that New Zealand music that came out of Dunedin. It's interesting because we still revere some of the old stuff, like the Dudes and, you know, Split Ends, bands like that from the 70s. We still revere them, and they're still hanging in there. In terms of the newer bands, look, they leave me a bit cold, but I think it's just me getting old. You know, bands like 660, for example, so successful, and the core of their music, they're great musicians, but it's just not my thing. So I'm not too sure whether that's because I'm old or whether music's changed and I haven't changed with it. I'm not too sure. I love the old stuff, and I think a lot of our music probably is from the 80s and 90s in terms of how we write it and what we like to perform.
Hopes for the future then for Halcyon Drift. What would you like to see?
Oh, who knows? Look, we're all in our 50s with a couple of us just tapping into the 60s. But we're young at heart. And we feel like we just always were. So I think there's an opportunity to play. I quite often, we've got a couple of acres out here in Upper Hutt. For about 4 or 5 years, we did what we called this gig called Ashtonbury, which was a play on Glastonbury, because we live in Ashton, Warnaway. So we had in our paddock a gig every year. And we would just invite people along. They'd bring their rugs along, then make some wine, and just settle in for the afternoon, and we just play a whole lot of covers and some of our music. So that was always good fun, and I see us continuing on, not at a great pace, and I'd like to think we'd do a bit more writing, but we'll just do it at our own pace. And then now the fact that we've landed this album, I think we can feel satisfied that we've captured it, and now whatever we add on top of that, the icing, then so be it. For us, it's about having people in the room. If you play to a great crowd, I think everybody enjoys themselves. So we're on Spotify, so go and give it a crack. If you have a listen to a Fading Light by Halcyon Drift, I think you'll like it. And I think there's a bit there for everybody. You know, if you can help us out by sharing with friends and getting a few listens up, that'll be awesome. And keep your ears out, because if we do have a gig in town, it is a lot of fun. We rock hard. We're not a soft band, but it's going to be a great night on the 20th. And if you can't get to that one, then something in the new year, please come. Appreciate any support we can get. And thank you very much for you, John, and playing our tunes and having a chat with us. It's awesome.
No, it's been a pleasure, and they're great tunes. Really, really enjoy them.
Thank you very much.
I thought we'd go out with the title track, Fading Light. What's the backstory to Fading Light?
So it's actually a Matt Middleditch song, and it was about his sadness on the decline of the movie industry through the sort of 70s and 80s, and I think he was looking back towards the great days of Hollywood when film stars and films were a major thing. Now, Hollywood's always been major, but I think some of the class that was on through the 40s, 50s and 60s kind of was starting to wane. So that's where he looks at it from a Fading Light perspective. We chose it as an album name because it kind of represented one of the songs, but also because we saw it ourselves in the same way. You know, our light is fading just through age, but it won't fade in terms of enthusiasm and things we do. We'll always. So it was a bit of a risk calling it that, but it kind of just sort of told us that, hey, here's a representation of us from a while back, and as we get towards the end of our careers in music, this is a good capture. But I personally think we'll continue on.
Just the trailers, the peace.
And that was Fading Light from Halcyon Drift, who launched their album at the abandoned taproom Batoni on Saturday the 20th of December. Check them out on Spotify and Facebook and see if you can be added to the waitlist to be at the launch itself. But that means, sadly, it's the end of this week's show. Thanks to all my guests tonight, and a big thank you to you for listening to the show and supporting Wellington Access Radio. You can always listen again to the show as a podcast on the Hutzon pages of accessradio.org.nz. If you have a suggestion of a hut story or a piece of musical poetry, then please do message us either on Facebook, John McDonald NZ, or email the team, and our email is thehutzone@outlook.co.nz. Let's go out with some fun Christmas music from Upper Hutt duo Gareth Barker and Renee Maurice. Here's their not-so-serious cover of White Christmas. Until our last show of the year next Thursday, mate wā and noho oru mai rā. Stay well.
Okay, should we give it another go?
Yeah.
Okay. Stop. This is White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear the sleigh bells in the snow, of the snow. I said I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. May your days, be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
I said I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Get it?
Doesn't matter. Don't get it.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmas Christmases be white.
We're supposed to do some harmony then?
One bit you're doing the harmony, next bit I'm doing the harmony.
Okay, that works.
That program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.